Brother Ron had found some keys in the parking lot, so I thought I'd better mention that. I forgot that earlier. If you can't get into your house when you get home, well, I told you we found some keys. So they look like house keys, but I don't know. But I will leave them there. Maybe if I think of a sermon illustration, I'll use them later. But they're here on the pulpit. We won't make you come up and get them. But if they are someone's here, we want you to know they have been found. All right. We're going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 7 for our text today. Now, I know there are good salespeople that are out there, right, Brother Myers? There's some people with good character that are salespeople. I have to preface that because I have to say that I'm often a little bit leery when coming in contact with somebody that wants to sell me something. I get kind of nervous because I know there's often the case, particularly you're kind of in retail and that you know that they're making a commission, they might have a different agenda than just, I want to get that person the absolute best product that they can get. I used to be a salesperson, so I used to sell advertising, and it wasn't really my intention, but I probably left the impression that every single person that ever looked at that advertisement was going to buy your product. I mean, that might have been the way it came across. But it's kind of, you kind of get nervous. Is this person giving me the full story? And you know, a lot of people preach that way. I think they're salesmen that stand in pulpits, sadly. They'll tell you Christianity is as easy as praying a prayer, getting through the motions of the religious rituals that you need to, that you can make it fit around the way you want to live, that it can make you richer, more popular, even healthier. And they're going to steer away from the S word, right? We don't want to talk about sin because that steps on people's toes. Well, I'm thankful the Lord Jesus was not a salesman. He's a Savior that preached truth. He's described in the book of John as the Word. We can trust everything He says. How does He describe the Christian life? How does He bring it across? Well, it's not a little carrot dangling in front of somebody. It's truth. Notice what He says in our text. In Matthew 7, verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. Now, when He says the straight gate, He's not talking about straight as in a straight line. What He's talking about here as in straight like narrow. Testing to see if that thing was still messed up. It still is. We'll use this mic. Straight is in a narrow. That's what He's referring to. You think of a mountain trail where to get to that trail, you got to get between two boulders and you got to squeeze in between them to get on the path. That's the straight gate that He's referring to. And He goes on to say, enter ye in, and here in verse 13 of Matthew 7, at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now that sounds a little depressing. Like Jesus is kind of being negative here, like He's in a bad mood, and He's down in the dumps. Ah, Christianity, it's a straight gate. It's a narrow way. Is that the case? Well, no. He's not pushing people away. I don't think He's depressed at all, but He is giving a very real picture. He would not have us to trust Him and to follow Him with rose-colored glasses, worldly-colored glasses, we might say, on, with a worldly perception. He wants us to understand what following Him entails. And we're going to see this morning, as we consider the narrow way, that it is a description that is right, that the Christian way, it is hard. And flowing from that, many people reject it. It's a poorly traveled path. But again, Jesus isn't being negative. He's not pushing people away. He's inviting. the sinner on this way. Enter is his call. And I want us to see this, that in this passage here, in our text, in this Sermon on the Mount, and throughout all of his teachings, he's revealing a way of life, the Christian life, that is wonderful. The narrow way is a blessed way. And my prayer is that everyone that is listening here today, be it in this building or on the internet or watching on TV, would be able to say with me from the depths of your heart, I would walk no other way but the narrow way. So let's get into this. Two points. We're going to talk about how the Christian way is hard, and then we'll talk about how it's wonderful. But let's talk about the hard way. And I think that this description definitely speaks of that. The straight gate, Jesus says. The narrow way. What is he bringing across? We're going to make several applications. First of all, we can say that the gate, particularly, is a straight gate. It's a narrow gate because there is only one way. There's only one entrance into that narrow way. You know, the gate of the world is very, very wide. It admits every kind of belief that there is. You can refer to God any way that you want to refer to him. You can call him Allah. You can call him Zeus. You can call him Baal. You can believe in the God of the Bible. And you can say, well, I'm going to believe him, but I'm going to come to him this way, and I'm going to worship him this way that I feel like. You can kind of just mold him around what you want him to be if you're going to go through the wide gate. In fact, you can go through the wide gate and say there is no God at all. Everything is acceptable because religion, like everything else, is all about pleasing yourself when you're talking about the wide gate. But the gate of Christianity, constricted. It's narrow. How narrow? There's one faith. There's one Lord. There's one Savior. And that's it. Jesus says in John 14:6, you know the verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are no other ways. That's a narrow gate. That's a straight gate. He says in John 8:24 to these scribes and Pharisees, if you believe not that I am he, the Savior, the one that the Father has provided for salvation of his people, the Messiah that the Old Testament was pointing to, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But Jesus Christ. You ever have a conversation with somebody and they ask you that frightening question, that scary question? You think I'm going to hell, don't you? If I don't believe like you, do you think I'm going to go to hell? You think you're going to go to heaven and I'm going to be burning? Boy, that can kind of get you a little scared, can't it? I've watched preachers sit on a talk show up there in front of all these millions of viewers, and somebody says, well, do you think people who aren't Christians are going to go to hell? And they just start shaking in their boots. But the answer is yes. Yes, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you're coming any other way but Jesus Christ, yes. I mean, that may not sound nice. And we need to be loving in the way that we reach out to people in the world. But it's not loving to say, no, no, I'm sure that you'll make it. Loving is to say the Bible's truth. And the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no man that comes to the Father but by him. Yes, you're on the broad path that's leading to destruction. You're going in the gate of your own beliefs. But God has said there is but one gate. To the way of salvation, to the way of peace with him, to the way of life. And that gate is Jesus Christ. It's a narrow gate. There is one Lord, one Savior. God has not left it up to us. He has given one way, and that is his own Son that he has given graciously, wonderfully. That Jesus has come and fulfilled the law in the place of his people, and he has given himself there upon the cross, laid down his life, the only sacrifice that would ever be worthy to pay for our sins. And he has risen again, having paid that price. And it's by faith in him alone that we may be saved. That's not politically correct, but that's Bible. So if you believe the Bible, yes, there's one way of salvation. That's Jesus Christ. It's a narrow gate, a straight gate. Not only is it the only way, secondly, it's a way of humility. You know, I don't just like to think of this straight gate as being thin. I like to think of it as being low. To get through the straight gate, you got to crawl. You got to get down on your knees. The Lord is not going to have any man walking through this gate. He's walking uprightly. He's walking confidently. He's walking in his self-righteousness, thinking, I deserve to go through that gate. You know, to be a Christian is to be humbled to the dust. You know, we're often described by the world, oh, you're just full of pride. You think you're better than me. Well, somebody that's a true Christian doesn't think he's better than anybody. You know, we get this picture. We see some men of God. As the Lord reveals himself to them in the scriptures, what happens? We've talked about Isaiah 6, where he sees the Lord high and lifted up, his train filling the temple. And here are the seraphim crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. What does Isaiah say? He doesn't say, well, I'm pretty good too. What does he say? Woe is me. Woe is me, for I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Here is Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, and a bright light shines down upon him, and here is the Lord, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Saul doesn't look up and say, oh, now come on, let's talk about some good things I've done. What's he do? He falls down on his face, trembling and astonished. There are many other instances. We have John in the book of Revelation. He sees the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ walking among the candlesticks representing the church. And what does he do? He falls down there on his face at his feet as if he were dead. In the book of Daniel, he sees the Lord. And we read that there remained no strength in me, he says in Daniel 10:8. For my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. You kind of picture the blood draining out of his face. He just turns pale, and he passes out. Now, the gate of the world, that's a gate of self-exaltation. That's a gate where you're sizing yourself up with other people, and you're saying, yeah, you know, look at them. God, I thank thee I'm not as other men are. But you come to the straight gate. You come to Christ. You come to the real message of the gospel. And what do you see? You see the Lord high and lifted up in all his glory. You see a holy God. You see a law that is perfect in every way, that allows not one single sin, that allows no man to come in any boasting or any pride. A message of the gospel that says it's by grace alone that you're saved and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. There's no boasting. It's a humbling gate. Woe is me. I don't deserve to go through. I deserve for God to drop me into the pit of hell this very moment. I deserve his immediate judgment. There is nothing in me that is deserving of this at all. My hope alone is that God is a God of grace and of love and of mercy unconditionally. That's the heart of the sinner coming through the straight gate. He doesn't walk boldly. He crawls through that gate. It's a gate of humility. But then we can also say the narrow way is a way of submission. He doesn't just say the gate is straight. He says the way is narrow. The Christian life, he's not just talking about the day of conversion. What the Sermon on the Mount is what a Christian is. And he says the Christian life is a narrow way. You know, the way of the world, again, it's wide. It's as wide as your lustful imagination. There are no rules for the wicked. Oh, you've got laws. You can get in trouble if you break the laws of your country. You can get in trouble for those sort of things. But what's the goal of the world? Live for the flesh, right? Live for what pleases you. Whichever way your desires take you, you go that direction. And you go with the flow. You're the way of Christ, hedged in by his command. Hedged in by his leadership. You cannot serve God and serve mammon, that is, your own desires. If you're going to follow Christ, you follow Christ. If you're going to follow Christ, that means you walk after Him. That means you serve Him. Where He leads, you follow. You go where He wants you to go. You live as He would have you to live. That's the narrow way. You don't wander about, and according to your own lust, you follow directly where He walks. Jesus brings us across again and again throughout His ministry. He didn't just say, I want you to feel good. I want you to get emotional. I want you to make pray a prayer. When He invited people to come to Him, He invited them to follow. Luke 9, verse 23, He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He wasn't even looking for somebody to say, you know what, I'm going to follow you today. I'm going to come and get excited today. He says, every day, I want you to follow me. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. What kind of love does God want from His people? Only true agape love. That's a giving love. He's not satisfied with emotional love. He's not as satisfied with friendly love where you show up every once in a while and give Him a little attention. He wants your agape love. Agape love that says, His commandments are a guide to my life because I love Him. Luke 6, verse 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? How many people are there out there in the world today that call Him Lord with their mouth, but not with their life? He wants us to live as if He is our Lord. That's the calling of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be saved from sin and be a child of God is not just to have a Savior. It's that Jesus is Lord over every part of my life. I lose this life because I give it a living sacrifice for His purpose and for His glory. I like what Brother Wenzel said at our conference. Or actually, I think he might have said it. Yeah, it was during the conference. He said it, that we need to have a funeral every day. Wake up in the morning and we die to self. And that's a great way to put it. Needless to say, that's hard though, isn't it? Christian, is that easy? You know, I wake up, I still got to battle the flesh. The flesh that says, I want to go this way. And the Christ commands say, no, here's the narrow way. And we run up against those commands. And He convicts us and He chastens us. And the battle goes on and on. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Have you not had that cry in your heart? It's hard to walk the narrow way. Fourthly, it's a way of tribulation. You know, this was the message of Jesus. This is the message of the Apostle Paul. In Acts 14, verse 22, he goes back and the Apostle Paul is talking to the churches that he's ministered to. And he's coming back into them and he's encouraging them. What does he say to encourage these people and exhort them? He says in Acts 14, verse 22, it says, he confirmed the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. By the way, about four verses before that, they stoned the Apostle Paul to the point they thought he was dead. He didn't just talk about it. He showed up with some bruises on his face and said, you know what? We must, through much tribulation, enter in to the kingdom of God. In the broad path, the path of the world, you come up against a difficulty. Well, good thing the path is broad. I'll go around. You can do that. You can swerve around it. Your career is not working out. We'll get a new job. Your marriage isn't working out? We'll find somebody new. You're not having happiness in life? We'll seek some new goals that can restore your pleasure. Veer off somewhere else. But you follow Jesus in the narrow way and He leads you to a mountain of tribulation. He leads you up a mountain of sacrifice, of hardship, of persecution, of labor without any visible results that you can see. You know what you got to do? You got to climb because that's where the narrow way goes. There's no getting around it. Hebrews 12:2 tells us we have to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Sometimes the way gets so narrow, we got to let go of something. There's something getting in the way of Christ, something consuming our heart and our time, something leading us to the world, and we got to let it go and make a sacrifice. In that narrow way. That's hard. But you know, Jesus teaches us in Matthew 10, verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Not that we abandon our families, I have no love for them, but he comes before everything. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Oh, be assured, Jesus, this Bible, never promises an easy path of Christianity. It never gives us what the world would call a prosperity gospel, where if you have just enough faith and do things just right, everything's going to be good and you're going to have good health and you're going to have lots of friends and everybody's going to love you. It's quite the opposite. Jesus says, follow me and there's going to be tribulation. You're going to have to follow me. There's going to be a valley of the shadow of death, and you got to trust me and you got to follow me. There's going to be hardships. You're going to have faith in times of want. You're going to have mistreatment by those you minister to. You're going to have thankless service. You're going to have to fight this sinful flesh every day. There's no escape from these things when you're walking the narrow way. There's no getting around them. When Christ leads to that hardship, we got to follow. And that's hard, but that's the narrow way. As we look at all of these things, it stands to reason, our fifth point, the narrow way is neglected, or we might say rejected, by many. We read this earlier in Luke chapter 13, verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. This is why it's a narrow way. Another reason, another application of that narrow way. You know, Maple Tree that runs by the church is not a six-lane interstate. Kind of glad it's not a six-lane interstate. But you know, they don't need one. It's a dead-end street. It doesn't have that much traffic, so there's no need. It can be a narrow way, a two-lane street. So it is with the way of Christianity. Throughout the Old Testament, we look and what do we see? One tiny nation. Out of all the world, recognizes the true God that is Jehovah. Everybody else pretty much is in idolatry. And how many of that one little nation are true believers? How often is Israel in complete rebellion and worshiping their own idols? Well, here comes Jesus, the Son of God, walking the earth, speaking as no man ever spake, performing wondrous miracles and revealing that he without a doubt is the Lord Christ that has been promised in the scriptures. And great crowds flock to him seeing his miracles and are caught up in the things that he says for a while, for a little while. We're getting to the end of John, and what do we see? Even his disciples flee, don't they? And he dies virtually alone upon that cross. Even after he resurrects and ascends into heaven, having been revealing himself as risen from the dead, there's only 120 names on the church roll of the only church on the face of the earth. Few. You say, well, the gospel spread throughout all the world. It did indeed. By God's grace, it spread from country to country, from the Jews to the Samaritans to the Gentiles. It has spread to all nations today, and that's wonderful. I'm not taking away from that at all. But how many of the 6 billion people on this earth walk the narrow way? I want you to think about that. How many? Boy, I can sometimes, and I shouldn't. But it's easy for my heart to get discouraged. As I'm going out, I'm knocking on people's doors. I'm going to do that on Friday, and I'm encouraging them in the Gospels. One of the first things I ask, you know, is there anywhere you're going to church? And I just tell, the answer is obvious on their face. Oh, great, I knew he's going to bring that up. Very few. Really, maybe they claim a religion. Maybe they'll say I'm a Christian. But very few have anything to do with even being in any type of a professing church at all. That's in America, one of the most blessed nations with the truth there is. My father's in a nation where many of the people never have heard of the gospel at all among these hill tribes. Growing up animist, worshiping evil spirits. That still goes on throughout the world today. Philippians 3 verse 18, here's the real truth. The Apostle Paul says, many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. The crowds are walking that wide path. It's wide because there's a lot of crowd there. Most of humanity walks that path. They follow their lust. They hear the gospel and they balk at the idea of the submission, of losing their self-righteousness, and of the walking that narrow way of following Christ. No, they'll walk the broad path. This path is narrow because few there be that find it. Few there be that walk it. You know, this seems harsh. And again, you say, well, that sounds kind of negative. It sounds like Jesus is being down on things. It almost sounds as if he's pushing us away from it, talking about how hard the path is. No, 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 no. He says, enter. This is an invitation. This is a command. Enter at that gate. He's beckoning this morning for the sinner. Enter there, thou at the straight gate. Walk the narrow way. He's encouraging us as Christians. Keep on walking that narrow way. But he wants us to do it with the right perspective. Not with a motivation to please our fleshly lusts, but to be saved from the destruction of sin, to know real eternal life. And as we look at it from this perspective, I want you to see this is a wonderful way that he calls us to follow him on. The narrow way is wonderful. Let me give you 3 points in regards to that. Number one, it's wonderful because it is the only way of hope. It's wonderful because it's a way of hope. We're going to be going down to Florida at the end of this month, at the end of July. We're going to be going down there with some family. And you know, it'd be kind of silly of me to say, you know, I really don't like going through the mountains and all those twisty roads. I get a little car sick. I don't like dealing with that. Let's see if we can get to Florida going north. It's pretty straight as you go up through Ohio and into Michigan. Let's just go. Let's take the easy path and see if we can get there. You say, that'd be ridiculous. He's a foolish man who decides his path by the ease of the journey and not the destination at the end of it, isn't he? But that's what the world is doing. They see the broad road, and you know what? It looks good on the broad road of the world. Sin is allowable, and it makes them feel good, and they can sear their conscience, and the world is more and more accepting of things today. Boy, it just gets better and better. The courts and the country just throw everything out, and you can feel good about your sin. You get friends that'll go along with you. It's an easy path. Where's it going? See, people are looking at the path. They say, broad road looks good. Where's it going? My friend, it's going to the depths of hell. The broad road leads to destruction. That's where it's going. How foolish to look at the path and say, I like the path, and you don't think about the direction it's taking you. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There is no hope if you're walking the broad path. None. All there is are vain pleasures of this world that are soon to pass away. That's the broad path. But you know, if you're walking the narrow way, we know there's a good destination. It leads to life. It leads to hope. It leads to an eternal blessing. We are going somewhere, and we're going somewhere wonderful when we walk the narrow path, the narrow way. I love the Apostle Paul's words. Here he is at the end of his life. It definitely appears. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, this is the last letter that we have recorded from him. And I can almost picture him writing these words with tears of joy in his eyes. He says in 2 Timothy 4, 6, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. That's his hope. The path was hard. There he is in prison. There he is facing execution. There he is with numerous scars from the journey that the Lord has led him on in that narrow way. But he says, I'm going somewhere wonderful. The destination is never in question. Not for Paul, not for any who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a Savior that has paid that price, and we know He paid it because He rose again, and He lives today at the right hand of the Father, those wounds bleeding for us, showing the price is paid. And so we know if our hope is in Jesus Christ, we know where we're headed. We know the time's going to come where the journey will be over, where the weariness will be done. We'll reach that expected end. We'll rejoice as we see Him, and we'll be like Him as we see Him as He is. We'll be able to cast our crowns at His feet and say, Thou art worthy. He'll wipe the tears from our eyes. I know from running, when I ran cross country, when I've run in different races since then, I can't keep on if I don't think I'm the destination. Once my mind starts going to the hill and I say, oh, this hill's terrible. Oh my, I start thinking about how much my legs hurt and how it's hard to breathe. But if I'm thinking on that finish line, particularly when I get to the point where I can see it, it's like I can look at it ahead and it's there before me. You find energy you never knew you had. Well, here the Word of God puts that destination before us and says, strive, keep going. Because that narrow way is leading you somewhere wonderful. There's hope. Oh, blessed hope. I've seen it on the faces of some of the saints that have passed away from this church. I've seen joy on their face that you won't find in the richest man in all his health that's in this world. They have in their last fleeting moments. There's hope on the narrow way. Not only is it a way of hope, though, it's a way of purpose. The broad road of the world is wide, as we said, so wide you can wander any way that you want. You can follow the lusts of your flesh. But my friend, what kind of a life is that? You know, in Psalm 1 and verse 4, the ungodly are described as the chaff which the wind driveth away. That light part of the wheat stalk that they blow away to get rid of. And what does it do? It floats up in the wind. You ever throw something up in the wind and you just watch the wind take it wherever it would go, leaves and that sort of thing? So is the ungodly. The wind of their lust drives them. The wind of the meaningless cares of this world, and it blows them this way and that. But there's no real direction. There's no purpose to their existence. If you're walking the broad path, what are you living for? But what about the believer? Oh, Psalm 1 gives a blessed description of the Christian. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That law, he is guiding him on that narrow path. He will not turn from it. And what is he like? Well, not the chaff, but a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is true of those that walk the narrow path. It's not just that we hope to have joy and delight one day. We delight today, don't we? Don't we have delight now? Don't we have a joy now? Why? Well, because we have life as it's meant to be. Jesus leads us on a narrow path, and it goes through hardships, yes. But those are hardships that show forth and build our faith. Jesus leads us through service, and it's hard, and yet we know it's never in vain. Jesus leads us into a ministry that might bring us persecution and mockery from man. But you know what? It's going to honor God, who's created us for His glory. Jesus says in Matthew 10:39, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You're only going to find life. That is not just an existence, but real life as it was meant to be. How do you find it? You lose your life. That is, you give it to God. You submit it to God. Oh, to know Him and to please Him as I was created to do, that's life. That's what brings satisfaction. That's what brings peace. Oh, this world looks at their money. This world looks at their careers. This world looks at their worldly relationships and says, well, I'm going to find a purpose there. But they're going to end up, well, where Solomon did in Ecclesiastes as he strayed from the Lord. Vanity of vanities, he cried. Oh, but the man that walks the narrow way, he lives, doesn't he? He has a purpose. The narrow way is going somewhere. I'm not just talking about heaven. I'm talking about going somewhere profitable, doing things that are profitable, meaningful, lasting in your life. But then finally, the narrow way is a way of fellowship with Christ. You know, the broad path, Jesus brings it out. It's well traveled. You want to go with the crowds? You want to go with the flow? Walk the broad path. When you walk the narrow way, you're kind of going against the stream. You're going upstream. Everybody's going the other way, and you're fighting the current of this world. But you know, there's another perspective. That is that the broad path is the path of loneliness, and the narrow path is the path of fellowship. You see, in the broad path, yeah, you go with the crowds, but you know what they're there for? They're there for themselves. They're there for their own way. You're there with Satan. What does Satan want? He wants his own way. He wants his own glory. But you walk the narrow way, you're walking with one who loves you, who rejoices over you, who's there for you as your good shepherd. The narrow way is wonderful because it's the way Jesus is going. It's the way that Jesus leads. It's the way of fellowship with him. This is what Psalm 23 brings out so beautifully. David, who had lost so much of the fellowship as he's hiding from Saul in the wilderness, and he's going through so many lonely journeys out there, but he had a joy as he walked the narrow path, as he followed his Lord. He didn't go alone. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest me a table in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the joy of the narrow way. Thou art with me. Jesus says in John 17 and verse 3, this is how he describes life eternal. He doesn't say life eternal is when you get to heaven. Life eternal is when you get a crown. Life eternal is when you get a mansion. Life eternal is when everybody says how great you are. No, life eternal is that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is a relationship with God today and in eternity. How wonderful is the narrow way, because that's the way Jesus is on. How wonderful is it to walk the narrow way, because he walks with me every step of the way. How wonderful that when I start to stray, he draws me back, convicts me, he chastens me. It hurts, but it's chastening in love. How wonderful as I go and I face persecution, he's with me and protects me. As this flesh combats me, he's there to strengthen me and help me. He's there to carry me, if you will, by his grace over those mountains, through those dark valleys. The narrow way is the way with Jesus. That's what being a Christian is all about, isn't it? It's walking with Jesus. It's being with him. That's why we follow the narrow way. I would pray that's the case with you. I would pray that's why you're here this morning. I would pray that's what would draw you again tonight for prayer meeting and for our services this evening and on Wednesday. I would pray that that is what would cause you to give your heart and time to devotions and to prayer. I would pray that is what would cause you to give of yourself constantly every day for his service and to put away those things of the world that are drawing you from him, because you love Jesus Christ, and that's why you walk the narrow way. But we end this morning with the obvious question. Which way are you on? Which way are you on? What is it that motivates your life? Do you live for the ease of the journey? Do you live for the pleasures of the flesh? Do you go each day just considering how easy the path is and not thinking where it's leading you? There's a deadly end to the broad road. There is a deadly end. There is an end of destruction for all who die without faith in Jesus Christ. step by step, day by day, every time you turn away from the gospel without repenting and believing on Christ, every time you walk out the door, every time you shut off the TV or turn off the message and you have not looked to Christ and you turn your heart back to the things of this world, you're taking a step further down the broad road that leads to destruction. But there's a straight gate. And it's there today. And it may be entered today by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. You know, we've all made mistakes sometimes and taken the wrong road, haven't we? I'm just illustrating this in real life, that sometimes I've taken a wrong path and I've gone a long ways down the road on this wrong road and I realize, I've gone the wrong way. What do you got to do? You got to go back a long ways, don't you? And a lot of people look at salvation, they say, surely it must be like that. There's got to be a purgatory. I got to suffer a long time. I got to do a whole lot of things to try to make up for my sins. That's not the message of salvation. The message of salvation is that where you are today, yet in your sins, yet unworthy, if you would turn from your sin and repent and trust in what Jesus has done on the cross, there's a straight gate right there before you that you may enter in this day. You may have peace with God. You say, I'm so sinful, I'm unworthy. Surely I have to do something. Jesus has paid it all for all who trust in Him. Look to Christ today. Oh, come to that straight gate. Humbled, without any self-righteousness, yes. Letting go of every other way, but with hope in Jesus and what He has accomplished at Calvary. With joy in what He has promised to be and to give His people. Oh, what joy you'll find as you walk the narrow way. Are you walking it today? What a blessed salvation Jesus has provided for His people. What a blessed invitation He gives in this passage for us to lay hold of. I hope that it's something you've taken to heart. I hope the narrow way is a way you rejoice to walk today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word You've provided, for this real picture of what the Christian life is like. Oh, a path that is neglected, rejected by the world, mocked by the world. A path that is full of sacrifice. A path that can only be entered in as we are humbled, as we let go of self-righteousness, as we've turned from selfish sin, as we've come to You, seeking only to follow after Your way. A path that can only be entered in through one man, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, it may be hard, but how wonderful that You, by Your grace, have saved us and have drawn us and have worked in our hearts and have been with us every step of the way as we walk this path, as we live this Christian life. Lord, we as Christians thank You for Your grace. We thank You for the wondrous hand upon our life that we may walk this path and be Your children and follow Your Son and have this eternal hope before us. But Father, I pray for the unbeliever that's here, one that is focused on the ease of the journey and not the destruction they're facing. Oh, Lord, touch their heart today. I can't do it. I don't put any trust or stock in my words or my ability or the songs that we're going to sing. We need Your power working in hearts today, touching the heart of the sinner and saving them, making them to see the real hope of Jesus, the real joy of the way of salvation. Lord, do that work, we pray, if it be Your will. And we thank You again for the message You've given today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand, please, and turn to hymn number 247. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling.